The scripture reading today comes from Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Stop collecting treasures for your own benefit on earth, where moth and rust eat them, where thieves break in and steal them. Instead, collect treasures for yourselves in heaven, where moths and rust do not eat things, where thieves do not break in and steal them. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Philippians 4, 4 through 13. Be glad in the Lord always. Again, I say be glad. Let your gentleness show in your treatment of all people. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all your requests to God in your prayers and petitions, along with giving thanks. Then the peace of God that exceeds all understanding will keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. From now on, brothers and sisters, if anything is excellent and if anything is admirable, focus your thoughts on these things, that all is true, all is holy, all is just, all that is pure, all that is lovely, and all that is worthy of praise. Practice these things. Whatever you learned, received, heard, or saw in us, the God of peace will be with you. I was very glad in the Lord because now, at last, you have shown concern for me again. Of course, you were always concerned, but you had no way to show it. I'm not saying this because I have need for anything, for I have learned how to be content in any circumstance. I know the experience of being in need and having more than enough. I have learned the secret to being content and in every circumstance, whether full or hungry, whether having plenty or being poor. I can endure all things through the power of Christ who gives me strength. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be
to God.
So spending this Advent reflecting on the simple gifts of the season, the simple gifts that God offers us. Slowing down to pay attention, to notice the ways that God is showing up in our worlds, the way the shepherds noticed when they were out at work, the stars and the angels in the sky, to come and worship this baby. And when we slow down, as we talked about last week, we might begin to notice something uncomfortable. We might begin to notice around us a lot more clutter than we remember. Anybody ever had that? You just get to the end of a long, busy day, sit down on the couch just to relax, to fry, not even to worry about anything, and you look around and all of a sudden you notice all the things that haven't been done. It creates stress, makes it hard to relax. Clutter is defined as anything that does not add value to our lives. Anything that does not spark joy. 19th century philosopher William Morris said, "We should have nothing in our lives that we don't know to be useful or believe to be beautiful." Usefulness and beauty. The core of what we should focus on. The Desert Fathers intentionally got away to the desert to deal with their inner lives, to deal with inner demons and inner darkness, to fight the temptations and sin just as Jesus did when he went into the wilderness at the beginning of his ministry, to wrestle with his human needs for security and power and control, and to be free of those desires that would drive him as a human being. And the Fathers realized that their exterior space, by going out into the wilderness, going out into the desert, would be a reflection of their interior space. That just as they needed that quiet and that silence and that stillness, that solitude and simplicity in the world around them, they also needed it within their hearts. And I think that's what we see Jesus teaching to the disciples and to the crowds when he says, "Do not store up for yourself treasures here on earth where moth and rust destroy, but to store up treasures in heaven." These are the treasures of our heart, the treasures of our soul. I was thinking about Tangelis, who was sharing about the Grinch. I love that story. It's always been a favorite. But I wonder how that would pan out if the Grinch actually came to our town or our nation. And there was a nationwide emptiness of homes and churches and every other place we might gather on Christmas morning. And I have a hard time believing that if we were to turn on the news, assuming we could actually find the TV left to turn the news on, if he was smart, that's what he would take first. If we turned on the news, I don't know that we would see the crowds gathered around every town square singing praise and joy. I have a suspicion that we might find riots in the streets, that we might end up under martial law pretty quickly and have the military on the streets to try desperately to protect us from no enemy but ourselves and our own greed and hatred and paranoia. We do this all the time. When we feel like we are lacking something, when we feel like somebody is getting more than their share, we react, we turn against one another. And so simplicity is necessary, not just as a sort of a stress reliever, or a feng shui, or a clearing to make us more peaceful inside, but simplicity is needed as a spiritual discipline to be able to truly appreciate and value one another in this world and what Jesus has given us. Diane Hodick, in her Advent Reader on Simple Gifts, writes, "We can become extreme minimalists. We can give away most of our possessions to the poor. We can simplify our external lives to the barest necessity. But the hardest thing to let go of might be the deeply emotional memories and conflicts of our past. The holidays often surface these difficulties. Advent," she writes, "offers us the opportunity each year to come to a place of peace and reconciliation with our past. Sometimes the issue is the loss of great happiness. Other times it's the looming presence of an unresolved struggle. These are the things that tie our inner lives, that tie our souls in complex knots, no matter how hard we work to simplify the surface." What emotional clutter do you find in your life this season? If you stop long enough to pay attention, if you sit in silence long enough, if you turn off the distractions long enough, and just ask yourself that famous John Wesley question, "How is it with my soul?" What emotional clutter is getting in your way? What spiritual clutter is coming up for you? Sometimes the reason we fill ourselves with so much stuff, both in our space and in our time, the reason that we're so hectic in our preparations for Christmas and really throughout the year, may be to avoid those deeper issues. We don't want our exterior space to reflect the emptiness of our interior space. We want everything to be filled and cluttered so we don't notice the clutter inside, so that we don't have time to pay attention to those places that we are lacking in our souls. I find it interesting that when John the Baptist came to prepare the way for the Lord, he was preaching to the people out in the wilderness, and he writes in, we have recorded, I should say, in Luke 3, that John says, "To produce fruit that shows that you have changed your hearts and lives." The way we prepare for the Lord is repentance, to show that we have changed our hearts and our lives. And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do? How do we show that we've changed our lives? How do we repent? How do we turn our lives around? How do we prepare for the way of the Lord?" And you would think this would be an opportunity to rattle off all the things that we think are horrible sins in our life, right? We want to confess our sins to God. We want to purify ourselves. We want to separate ourselves from those who are unholy in the world. But that's not what John answers. When the crowds ask, what should we do? How do we prepare the way of the Lord? How do we change our hearts and lives? Here's what he answers. Very, very practical. He says in verse 11, whoever has two shirts must share with the one who has none. Anybody have more than two shirts? Whoever has food must do the same. Anybody have enough food? Even the tax collectors. These are the greedy ones, the ones who are profiting by taking advantage of others, taking more than their share. They came as well to be baptized. And they said to John, teacher, what should we do? And he responded again very practically, collect no more than you are authorized to collect. You can do your job, but don't take advantage of people in the process. The soldiers came. And they asked, what about us? What should we do? And he answered, don't cheat or harass anyone, but be satisfied with your pay. Now, that doesn't make as much sense in our culture, but in their world, the military was entitled to essentially whatever they want. They were an occupying force in Jerusalem, in Israel. The Roman soldiers could take what they wanted. They could force people to carry their packs as far as they wanted. They could force people to give up their homes so that they could have a place to stay. They could force food from people. They could extort in any manner that they wanted. Why? Because they have the power of the entire Roman army behind them, and who's going to question it? And John's response is simply this, don't cheat or harass. It doesn't say you have to give up being a soldier. It doesn't say you have to give up being a Roman. It doesn't say you have to change religions. It doesn't say you have to repent of some deep moral failure. Just says, don't harass people. Don't extort people. Don't take more than what is yours. Don't hoard more than what you need. These are very practical concerns. And they're all about simplicity. Everything John said was necessary for them to produce fruit to show that they have changed their hearts and their lives and are prepared to receive Christ in the world is about hoarding, about overconsumption, about taking more than we need, about doing harm to others in the process. It's all about simplicity. And John is teaching us, I think, that simplicity is a way of living that frees us from the way our culture tries to hijack our need for security and self-esteem. To have outer simplicity, we first have to have inner simplicity. We need single-minded focus, always returning to God's presence, living in a rhythm where we are constantly returning, thinking about the ways that the Desert Fathers and other monastic movements have the hours of prayer throughout their day, seven times a day when the chime will ring and they will gather for worship. Though they never go more than a couple of hours in their tasks, in their busyness, before that chime rings and they are reminded to say, we pause. We give thanks for all that God has allowed us to accomplish in these past few hours, for his sustaining love and grace in our lives, and we pray God be with us for the next few hours until the chime rings again. What would it look like for us to live our lives in such a way? I've tried the whole chime thing. I've been on silent retreats where we followed those hours, and it was a beautiful thing to know that no matter how far distracted your mind might get in a few hours, you'd always be coming back to worship several times throughout the day. Come home with all that exuberance of thinking, yeah, I'll do this in my regular life, no problem. But you know when the chime always rings? In the middle of lunch, at the drive-thru line. You know, in the middle of a meeting somewhere, at some point where it just does not work, and then after a while you just kind of give up. And so I was talking with a contemplative group that I'm a part of about this struggle with how do we incorporate these hours, how do we incorporate these pauses to simplify our lives, to slow down in the midst of our days. And we started reflecting on all of the transitions in our day, all of the times, the moments that we shift from one thing to another or one place to another. The times when we get in the car to go somewhere. The times when we stop just to take a small break. The times we go to the refrigerator. The times we go to get a cup of coffee. any transitional moment in our day, what if we took just 1 minute to pause, to reflect as the monastic communities do, to give thanks for the way that God has sustained us thus far, and to pray God's presence be clear in our midst, on our path, that He would open our eyes and hearts to whatever He has for us until that next transitional moment, until that next break in the day. Because we all have natural breaks with mealtimes, the places that we go. What if we spent those breaks breathing in the fruit of the Spirit? What if at each moment throughout the day we took an opportunity, take that deep breath and breathe in love and breathe out any anger that we had been holding? What if that moment before we stopped for lunch, we took a moment to breathe in joy and breathe out any sadness or pain that had come our way that morning? What if we took a moment in the afternoon, that point when we're just exhausted and trying desperately to get through the day, we breathe in peace. We breathe out the anxiety and the uncertainty of tomorrow. What if we breathed in patience and breathed out the hurry in our lives? We could go on. We could breathe in kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are all in Galatians 5, 22 to 23. What if that list was part of your day? John says, to prepare the way of the Lord, you produce fruits that show that your life has changed. These are the fruits that our lives are to produce if we are in Christ. But in order to produce that fruit, we need to simplify. We need to get rid of all the clutter. And as we do, we move towards something deeper. You see, we talk in our country about the pursuit of happiness as a right, as an inherent human right. But what if happiness is not really the goal? What if we sought instead contentment? What if we truly sought peace, which is the intent and the goal and the gift for the second Sunday of Advent, deep peace in our lives? Rabbi Hyman Satchel says, happiness is not having what you want, but wanting what you have. Not having what you want, but wanting what you have. That sounds a lot to me like contentment. Contentment is a great gift that we don't always appreciate. Instead of asking whether we're happy, maybe we can get into the habit of asking how content we are. Where is the peace that we find that is greatly needed in our world and in our lives? And the more content we become with our possessions, with our surroundings, with our relationships, with all the things that are in our life, the more tightly we hold to those things, the more lightly we hold to the things that cause us stress, the more lightly we hold to the things that give us anxiety, that make us worry, the more we're able to release all of those stories on the news that bring us down, that make us think that everything in the world is horrible, and the more we can lean in to love and joy and see those places where God is showing up, bringing those simple gifts to the places we least expect it. Philippians 4 was that final scripture that was read today. You probably recognize the last verse of it, Philippians 4:13. It's normally translated, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? We know this one. We have it on our bumper stickers, on our refrigerators. Some people have called it the Superman verse. With Christ, I can leap tall buildings in a single bound and fly faster than a speeding bullet, right? We can do anything. But that's not really at all what Paul is talking about. The better translation is that I can endure all things through Christ who strengthens me. The whole context of the passage is about being content in the Lord. I have learned to be content in any circumstance, Paul writes. I know the experience of being in need and having more than enough, but I've learned the secret to being content in every circumstance. Whether full or hungry, whether having plenty or whether being poor, I can endure all these things through the power of the one who gives me strength. It's a big difference. It's less about the shame of feeling like a failure when we can't accomplish something, when we're told, oh, if you just had enough faith, you could do that. It's far more about being content with what we have, with who we are, with the people in our lives. Paul also says in verse 8, if anything is excellent, anything is admirable, focus your thoughts on these things. All that is true, all that is holy, all that is just, all that is pure, all that is lovely, all that is worthy of praise. Remember what we said about simplicity earlier? That clutter is anything that does not add value or spark joy. That we should have nothing in our lives that we don't know to be useful or beautiful. Sounds a lot like Philippians 4:8 to me. To have in our lives all of those things that are excellent and praiseworthy and true and holy and just and pure. Simplicity isn't just about emptying our homes of all of the gifts and food like the Grinch may think. Simplicity is about clearing out our hearts, about letting go of those drives to somehow always have more than enough, more than we need, because we're afraid that one day we might lose it and we'll need that next day. It's about living in the moment. It's about being fully present. About listening to those chimes and those transitions in our day and pausing to be present with God who came this season to be present with us. And so to have the things that we know are enough. To focus on those things that are true and holy and pure and beautiful. And worthy of praise. To be content in all circumstances because Christ is with us and gives us strength. These are the things that make for peace. These are the things that help us prepare the way for the Lord in our hearts, in our lives, and in our world. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we come and thank you for the invitation to slow down and to simplify our life. And as our call to worship reminds us that when we receive these simple gifts, we are set free to be able to turn, to be able, as John says, to repent and bear the fruit of your Spirit. We can't do it in the midst of our hectic lives. We can't do it in the midst of our clutter that distracts us. We can't do it when we feel like we never have enough. But only when we receive the gift of your Son and say, yes, Lord, you are enough for me. You are my all in all. You are my strength. In you, I find hope. You are my joy. You are my peace. You are the source of all love, of all things good and beautiful and praiseworthy in my life. And so, Lord, help us to let go, to be freed of all the distraction, of all the clutter, and to be filled with the beauty, with the joy, with the peace that is found only in you, in Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.